Welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 84, the have to earn a lot of money, money story.
I love it. Your money make a world go round.
All right, welcome back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab Podcast. I am your host, Wei Hong. This is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate entrepreneurial lifestyle free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free book, ebook, From Money Anxiety to Six-Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on the show with our guests, and quite frankly, it could change your life. Now, if you're joining us live today and you're not on YouTube Live, not sure what you're doing because everybody's on YouTube, make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag TheMoneyLab so that you can join us in the chat room, ask questions, and interact with us and our guests today. Now, while you're there, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode and can catch us every week. For all of the ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. And if there's something you love about what you hear on this episode today, and I'm with all the great guests as we've been having, I can almost guarantee that you will. And if you know that could help someone that you care about, remember, sharing is caring. Share the show to that person. And today's episode is again being sponsored by the Energy Mind Body Transformational Experiences, which run live, no pitch, full day events where the goal is to have that one shift, one transformational experience to help you optimize your energy, mind, and body. Go to www.embte.com for more details on the upcoming events. And I believe there's one coming up October 27th. Now, I'm really excited about our show today because we are going to hear from someone who lived that textbook high life, you know, along with all the good, the bad, and the ugly, and is now helping others achieve that as well, but in a way without the bad and ugly.
Yeah.
Now, a few things
well,
you
want
to... Yeah, exactly, right? Now, a few things you want to listen for and things that you want to kind of take note of for those of you who are looking to gain, you know, who are intellectually centered and want to make sure you get notes because there's always some really cool things and gemstones that come out of our episodes. One of the things that you want to probably key in on is why it's never too late to go for the life you want. Okay, we're going to talk to somebody today, our guest today, who is a living example of that. Also, having to earn lots of money isn't necessarily the answer. And if you've been following for a while, money isn't the answer for most of the things of creating a lifestyle that we want. And also look for what life 2.0 actually is and what it means to create a life of your dream. Now, before we start talking to our guest, let me give a little brief overview, and a very short overview just so that we can kind of talk into it, because you know, for those of you who've been following our show, you will notice and recognize that we've had our guest on our show before, and it was on our episode where we're talking about the Crazy Rich Asians. And so it was such a fun, compelling episode that I decided to have her back on the show to talk about her and her journey, because I realized, oh my god, her journey is one that we can actually help to, you know, to kind of like bring out there to inspire others. I mean, Angie is a 20-year corporate executive straight from New York City, you know, to the likes of tune of Yahoo and NBC and what was the third one again? It was
Terra.com,
right?
Spanish and then, language, yeah.
Right? And then from there, because of everything that she went through and the trials and tribulations, she actually turned into a career coach and has dedicated herself to working with some, what she liked to call, hashtag, badass women who have given blood, sweat, and tears to a career that no longer serves them, and they're ready to move into their life 2.0, which I absolutely love that how you've coined that and stuff like that. So anyway, welcome to the show, Angie. Thank you so much for coming back on. And you've changed your background, and so have I. And so we completely made this a whole different, it's like we have a different show in a different universe.
yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for having me back on. I super appreciate it and loved our last talk. So I can't wait to get into this one.
I know, it's going to be just another hour of fun, right? So let's get the formalities out of the way. In other words, let's talk about your money story. What was that money story there? I mean, we talked a little bit about it in the last episode with the Crazy Rich Asians and stuff like that. But now this episode is all about you. Let's talk about your unique money story and what you grew up with with and how that impacted your life in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Right?
And the ugly. So I guess it really starts off. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, money is one of those topics that you kind of think about, but it's almost like that taboo subject that you don't really want to talk about too much. But then when you do start really digging deep into like, well, what is it? It started making me really emotional. I was like thinking about it going, oh my God, I have to say this out loud. And it really started for me as a little girl. My parents were, they got separated and divorced when I was really young, around when I was like 9 years old.
Wow.
9 years old. And so it really...
Unlike mine, which was last year for me.
Wow. Which I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like,
why'd you wait so long?
Right? Like, wait a second. We knew something was up. But my thing
was, they're happy now, which is interesting.
Well, good. Well, that's the important part. I think for me, the seed of all of it was like, my mom had to like get her driver's license. She had to get a job. She had to take care of two girls, you know, but she always made everything happen. And I never felt like we lacked anything. Right. And we went on vacations and we went to private schools and all this stuff. Like I was like, today I like in where I am right now, I look back and I'm like, how the hell does she do that?
You still haven't figured it out.
I mean, I still have like legit. I still don't know how she does it because, or how she did it because I'm like, she's, anyway, that's a whole other subject. And then you have my dad's side, which, you know, my dad was in sales and he was in advertising and he, you know, went through his own financial journey. But at the same time, I don't even want to say it out loud, but it's like at the same time, didn't provide all of the things that my sister and I needed for school and for different things. Right. So that's like the really PC kind of kosher way to say that. Right. and so fast forward, there was something that clicked in me that was always like, if I want to have more, if I want to have the things that I want and I want to have more, that means I have to make more money, right? Like I had to do it. So I went to have from having enough, right, with my mom and at home, and then my dad did what he could, to then like going into, well, I had to work through college. I had to work, you know, through high school and all that. And so, but I also wanted a lot more stuff and experiences and call
stuff
it
and experiences. What is that? Stuff and experiences.
So stuff for me was just stuff. It was just like, you know, sneakers or jeans or whatever, because my dad would be like, oh, you don't need those things. Or, you know, it was a lot about like what we didn't need or because it was too expensive or money doesn't grow on trees. And I was like, well, my only way to control that is for me to control it. Right. And that was, I had to earn the money to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted to go on the trips and the vacation beyond what my parents, let me tell you, I say I wanted for nothing because I went on vacations and all of that stuff. But if I wanted to do more, then I had to earn more myself. And so I started earning six figures by the time I was like 19 or 20 years old.
Holy cow. Doing what?
Anything and everything. I mean, I remember when Nutrisystem was a freestanding, you know, freestanding location and that had just started. And I went and became a salesperson for them. Wow. Was selling weight loss programs. I worked at Neiman Marcus and was a sales girl there when it was a freestanding store in Westchester County and was on commission. And I had the wives of like the New York Knicks, like coming in and personal shopping for them, you know? So that was my way of like being like, whoa, like there's no ceiling. Right. To like the earning potential in this commission environment. I love it.
Right.
It was all based on my efforts.
So do you think that the perception of having no limitation when it comes to money, who did it come from? And did that come from your dad's side or your mom's side? I mean, where did it come from?
I don't know. I honestly, I've been thinking about that for a while now, and I don't know. Like, I don't know. Because if anything, I remember my dad being in advertising and being in sales. And he was always like, don't go into advertising. Don't go into sales. And that's actually where I ended up being, you know, being in a career.
Don't think about chocolate cake.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Like, there was nothing to keep me away from being in a sales environment. There was nothing, like nothing. And so, I don't know. I don't even remember like who had a conversation with me that said like, this is only
time. Was your dad making good money doing advertising and everything?
I think he went up and down. Okay. He definitely went up and down. He didn't end up on the top. So let's just, you know,
right.
of that, that at that time. And so, and had switched careers and done a couple of other things. And so, you know, I think that's I think that's kind of where it was. I mean, I don't even remember where it came from, but
so it sounds like your parents actually said within the scope of what we define as everything that we'll provide, there's that. But anything beyond that, which is usually what most kids do, they want something beyond what parents define, because then that's more uniquely them, right? Uniquely things that you want. Then you had to earn it. You had to provide for yourself on it. And it sounds like at a very early age, you say, I want a lot of things that are outside of the scope. So guess what? I'm going to go out there and hustle and do it. And maybe it was an environment that you grew up in. I mean, you grew up in...
Yeah, I grew up in the Bronx.
In the Bronx,
I was born and raised in the Bronx in a fifth-story walk-up. But, you know, I mean, my mom did everything in her power to keep us, you know, off the streets and off the stoop and, you know, in good schools. And, you know, again, like, we didn't want for anything. She was a really strict mom and still to this day is. I'm like, ooh. I'm like, I'm a grown woman.
And I was like, why are you still, why are you still parenting me?
You'll never stop being their kid, right?
You know, and there's something that I had to kind of talk to my mom about that. And she was complaining about how certain, like my sister has trouble growing up and standing on her own too and always going back whenever they need something. I said, well, it's because you keep saying that we will always be your baby. So in a way, energetically, you're keeping us from growing up. You're not letting us go. You're getting us, you're keeping us tethered to a certain degree. Not that it's all her fault.
No.
But at the same time, you know, mother's energy and mother's cord is a little bit, it's kind of strong,
Gooseys. So many gooseys. Because I think that by itself, if people could understand that concept, that a certain, like your the people closest to you, your family, your friends, your parents, your moms will keep you to where they know you, right? And then you can only rise to that in which you've been exposed, and they can only rise to that in which they've been exposed. But energetically, it's like they can swoop in. And I had it happen with me. It was like, you know, I had a time where I'm like transitioning and I needed my mom's help. And I'm like, how did you do, like, how are you doing this? And then it's like, but her worry got turned on, right? Her worry and her anxiety and all of that stuff got turned on. And then I was like in the, and I could feel it. I remember being like, I feel this worry and anxiety about money that I didn't have before. And I don't feel like it's mine. And I would say to her, like, do you realize that our energies are so interconnected that you could possibly be holding me back from actually propelling forward? Because in her mind, oh, you just need enough. In her mind, we just have to cover your expenses. In her mind, and you know,
has that shown up for you every once in a while when you're like kind of going through your journey?
Totally. And that's what I'm saying. It's like it's happened in the more recent years of that conversation coming up and being like, well, what is enough, right? Mm-hmm. Enough is not what you define enough to be, because what my mom defines enough is not the same thing as how I define enough.
Right.
And the fact that I want more to do more and be more shouldn't be a bad thing.
Right. Yeah, because you're stepping into what you want fully and completely. I mean,
and also it gives me the ability to do more, be more for others.
Right.
So that it's the full circle.
Yeah.
It's never just about me, ever. Right. It was never just about me. Even when I was a kid in college, it was like, I was bringing all my friends. I was like, come on, let's go on vacation. Come on, let's go do this. You know, like I wanted to give people experiences and do things. And then that always carried through. I was always very generous.
Right.
And that's to me what it means to like be in a incomplete abundance, is to be able to give other people experiences and some nice presents too. Like it.
Yeah. I know. I mean, and that's a big thing, is that, you know, for those that have committed to a life of service and everything like that, and they shun money, it's like you're cutting yourself off, because the more money you have, the more you can do what it is that you want to do. You know, I mean, it's really what it comes down to. And so, okay, great. So at 19, you were already making six figures. Any dips, or was it an upward spiral? Oh, there was.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, because then of course, you know, it's like, well, you know, you need to go get a regular job. Like you can't be a shop girl, you know, or you can't like, you know, kind of work in that kind of environment. So I went and got a job. Where was it? I actually got a job. It's so funny. I actually went and got a job at a fashion house as a regional merchandise manager and got a salary, like an actual salary. And it was like, oh, that's what you need because that's what's stable.
So you made that choice and decision to move away what you were doing at 19 because your parents said you can't be doing that.
Yeah. Well, not that they didn't say I couldn't be doing it. It was just that you need something that was more stable, right?
Well,
who
told you that?
So, yeah, I mean, my parents, but not a, you can't do something. It's more of like you know, something that looked on paper like it was more of a stable choice.
Right.
Right. That you go to an office and you get a paycheck and you have a regular salary, which at that time, too, it was like, I mean, there were bonus structures and all of that stuff. But yeah.
It's so kind of like my dad doesn't talk about what his son does unless he understands what he does. And for many years, my dad hasn't understood what I've done. So he doesn't talk about his son to anybody. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. When I was doing something in a brief period of time, working in Silicon Valley during the dot-com boom, something that he understood, then he would talk about me, you know, and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So I feel like sometimes our parents want us to do something so that gives them, allows them to be able to at least talk about their kids intelligently. Because if they don't understand, they don't want to say, what is your son doing? And then when I was working in the video game industry, my dad was like, I don't know. He gets paid to play video games all day.
He plays games all day.
I don't know what he does. And I was working in design and I was the VP of business development and licensing. I was like, what is it that you don't understand about that? But my dad's a tech head. And so for him, it's like, oh.
Right. Exactly. I know. I totally get it. And I think the other thing that kind of the underlying conversation in that realm is also culturally,
right?
In the Asian culture, in the Latin culture, right? Like my parents are Puerto Rican, whatever. It's kind of like my sister's the physical therapist with like 1700 degrees, and my brother-in-law is an attorney, and you know what I mean?
And yeah.
Like. My dad's like, what? Like, I don't understand.
I don't understand what's going on. Well, my dad loves physics, right? And he's an electrical engineer. He thinks physics is like the best thing since peanut butter, right? And then both his kids hate physics. He goes, I don't understand why my kids don't like physics. I love physics. I was like, because we're not you.
Exactly. We kind of, you know, came out ourselves. Yeah.
So you got a regular job, you conformed, you said, okay, I'm doing what I need to do, even though I was already kind of making it already at the age of 19, and you were probably having a blast doing it.
So like I said it actually the other day. I was like, if social media was around when I was like back then for me, right, I would have been like the very first social media influencer.
Probably,
like,
right?
I say it all the time. Oh, the girl traveler and getting everything paid for and like all this stuff. Oh, no, I totally would have been.
Right? Because just seeing how you were promoting today's episode even, I was like, oh, okay, you know, I see what she's capable of. Wish we had like a week or two ahead of
us. I know. I'm better under pressure.
I know. We talked about that last time. Last time it was so last minute. It was literally, I said, hey, you want to be on the show? And it was like 30 minutes before. It's like, yeah, jump on. So, but okay, cool. So you got that job and then you started to kind of like progress and grow. Is that where like the launch pad to everything else? How you ended up on Park Avenue?
Yeah. So at that point I was working, like I said, for a fashion house as a regional merchandise manager. I was traveling around the country and I moved to a few different companies, and that was all well and good. But I just remember being like, after a couple of years getting these like 2%, 3% raises. And I was just like, yeah, this is not really working for me because I need to like maximize this to the fullest. And so I actually remember, and I told this story, I was on a panel a couple of weeks ago talking to 100 teenagers, female teenagers, Latinas, about like how I started my career and all this. And I told this story about how Latina Magazine launched. And I remember being like, oh my God, that's amazing. You know, I see myself in the picture, in the like covers of these, in the faces of these women in the magazine, whatever. Let me call the publisher. And I called the publisher and I was like, what could I do with my background in this industry? Like that was the first time ever I had said, okay, I'm going to go into something else. And somebody said, you could go into sales and you could make a lot of money doing that. And I was like, done and done. And so basically, I didn't go work for Latina magazine. I went and worked for a couple of other magazines, and then I went into radio, and then I worked in print, I worked in radio. I never worked in TV, although I worked for NBC. I worked for NBC.com.
What did you do at radio? Did you sell advertising?
I was in sales. Yeah. I was like door to door. Like, I mean, literally like walking around the streets in New York, like selling radio spots. And then somebody called, I remember a recruiter called me and said, "Hey, we have a position as a digital media salesperson." And I was like, "I don't even know what that is." And they were like, "We want to fly you out to Miami." I was like, "Okay, I'll do that." And that's when I interviewed, because they were looking for somebody who had like Spanish language bilingual background. And because I was working in a Spanish language radio station, I was like, done and done, like fly me out, I'll go, I'll try it out, I'll test it out and see where that takes me. And that's what started me in my digital media career, working for Yahoo en Español.
Yahoo en Español. Okay, cool.
As a salesperson, salesperson. And that was the heyday of the digital media space.
Yeah.
When we were taking orders like there was no tomorrow. I mean, taking orders. Like,
you didn't even just sell, you're just like, I'm just an order taker right now, you know?
Yeah, we were. I mean, you know what? It was, you know, as a company, and I know I was in a very specific division, and it was just a fun time. We were building something. It was new. It was exciting. You know, that's when like homepage takeovers were the big thing before now, like influencers, you know?
Right.
Having the car drive across the screen. Like, it was fun.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Yeah, I totally remember. Oh, my God. I was like, "Hey, what was that?" And then people taking over the homepage just start talking to you. It's like, this person just walked onto my screen. What's
virtual,
happening?
Yeah, the virtual reality stuff and all that. Yeah. It was great. It was great.
So you know, what I'm picking up from a lot of what you're saying is that there was a lot of hustle built into you right from the get-go. Like, whatever you wanted, and you just jumped in and you just hustled for it. Jumped in and you hustled for it and stuff like that. And, you know, I was thinking, I mean, is that vibe, is that energy still in you today? I mean, despite going through, because I know I used to have that same level of hustle. I was literally one of those people back in the day that sold stuff and came up to you randomly on the street to sell things, you know? I mean, from there, all the way to door-to-door, all that stuff. And, you know, honestly, I can't see myself doing that today. I don't know if it's an energy thing or whatever the case may be. But, you know, even though I'm doing something I'm significantly more passionate about and wouldn't mind actually talking to the world about it. But I wonder, do you have that same hustle still in you in terms of just like saying, look, you got this this coaching business going on. Will you do whatever it takes? Are you going to just pound the pavement if need be to get it, to get to where you want to go?
I think it's different. I think it's, I think, you know, first of all, number one, let's like kind of take a step back in that my personality is one that I love people. Mm-hmm. My personality is one that I love to help and mentor people.
Right.
So when I see that opportunity, that's when I'm like, oh my God, like I literally, even last night I saw these two girls, we started chatting. I started asking them about what they were doing. Then I'm like, okay, well, follow me on social media. Okay, let's talk because I want to help you like conquer the world. Mm-hmm. Like, so my hustle comes in when I see the other person.
Right.
And I have my avatar. I know who I want to go after. I know who I want to talk to. And yes, when I find those people, so I find that it's a much more refined hustle than it was when I was in my 20s, obviously. It's a much more refined hustle because I also know from a place of experience. I also know from a place of sophistication, quite frankly. I mean, I've had 20 years under my belt to learn to work in teams, to work with people, to go through my own insecurities and my own uphill battles and to watch others go through the same thing. And so that I can see the opening of where people need that thing, right? And which is why when I talk about, you know, who I work with in the coaching practice, it's really a specific person, because here's the thing, it's like I've gone through, like I've climbed the mountain and I'm on the other side. So for me, I'm not going to necessarily work with somebody that's like in their 20s and in their 30s starting in their career as much as I'm going to really look at the women that are in my sphere between 35 and up that are looking at life going, what have I done? Or I'm so exhausted by all of this, or I'm ready for something new and something more, because I was there. Like I was at that point where I was like, the hustle from back then is completely different than my hustle and who I am. And my, because now people are like, oh my God, I love your energy. So it's more of an attraction as opposed to like, you know, but there's still a charge in me, you know, like there's still a, because at the end of the day, it's like, I'm the only one taking care of me right now. So,
So let's talk about that. Why you focus on that particular age group, demographic and niche is because it's probably because of that. Remember I said the good, the bad and ugly is probably when the bad and ugly showed up. So this is where we talk about where that money story started creating that bad and ugly, because everything was great. You were living on Park Avenue. Tell people who don't know what Park Avenue is. And you didn't even know either until someone mentioned it or brought it up to you, right? That you were living there on Park Avenue.
I knew, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Green Acres meets Park Avenue kind of a thing. You go there, you feel that vibe, you feel that luxury, you feel that energy. And I remember, I mean, and I had a roommate, so don't get it twisted. I wasn't like, you know, living there like in a penthouse apartment, but I had this beautiful apartment and an amazing roommate. And, you know, was doing my thing and paying my rent and like living life. And it was funny. Yeah. Somebody once said to me, like, who pays your rent? And I was just like, I do. I don't. Who's supposed to pay my rent?
Like, wait, where did I miss that? I miss that memo? Someone's supposed to pay my rent?
I didn't get on the sugar daddy bus.
I know. I'm still looking for that sugar mama bus. It has yet to show up.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's right. That's what you ended up doing at one point, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day. But yeah, it's, you know, I think it's also, I think that whole thing, right, is kind of, we were talking about like, that what happens and that whole life and what you want to create for yourself. I think for me, number one, it was creating this life that I just, of beautiful things and beautiful experiences and beautiful places. And I just loved all of that stuff. And I mean, being in New York and being born and raised in New York and now living in California was like this whole, like, New York is such an oyster of just amazingness if you allow it, right? People are like, oh, New York is so hard to be around. No, there's some amazing things to experience, and I was lucky enough to be born and raised there and experience a lot of it. That's number one. Number two is that the reason why that I focus on this audience is because I am her, right? So I was that hustler, making it, making money, traveling, going, doing, being, getting married, dating, whatever, da 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 da. And then one day it feels like everything just crashed. Like, I just lost my passion. I lost my purpose. I didn't know what I was doing. My health started suffering. I was laid off of a job. And I was just like, what am I even doing all of this for? Right? And I think that's when it really started to uncover the fact that that's when the hustle from before was more of me, whereas now it's this charge forward is more about everybody else.
Right. I mean, what do you think? What do you think that things cascaded the way they did? I mean, what things happened the way they did? I mean,
because
you seemed like you were unstoppable, right? I'm sorry, what?
Well, I said because I'm 48 years old. Don't I look good?
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, but the thing is,
And I say that. I say that because I'm like, it's. I think for me, I know it goes for men too, but I get it. It's like almost like a midlife crisis. You're going through hormonal changes. You're going through different changes in your life. And you get to a certain point also where you get exhausted for being that hustler, right? Like, you get exhausted because, you know,
so you
I burnt out completely, which is why, like, that's who I want to talk to. Because women will start feeling it and they won't know that that's what it is. I'll be like, oh, I kind of got up this morning and didn't really have energy. Or I kind of got up this morning and there's a brain fog. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Or things are annoying them, or they're tired of the commute. And then it gets to a certain point. Like, I got all the way to the other side where it was like, I crashed. I didn't burn out. I completely crashed.
What happened?
And I went through a major depression. I mean, I feel like I didn't even get out of bed for a year. Like, that's what it felt like in my life. Right. Whether or not it was actually, but like, time and space didn't even exist for me anymore. And I just needed a little help, a little support. I just needed somebody to open the door and be like, I know what you're feeling. And so let's start here. And nobody was there for me to do that, which is why this.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because what you went through, and kudos to you for coming out of that, because, you know, in this day and age, we hear about it all the time. A lot of people don't make it through that.
Believe me, Yeah, it's a scary place. It's a really scary place. And, you know, I just remember calling my mom and sobbing and just being like, not like my brain, it doesn't work. Like I just don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I was going to doctors and I have a shelf full of like, you know, antidepressants and hormone stuff and gut stuff and digestive stuff. And I was like on so many different things for my adrenal and what I couldn't deal with it. And at the same time, I had to take care of myself. Like I was like, thank you, I didn't have kids, because I was like, I don't know how so many amazing women out there are going and feeling all of the feelings and then having to get up and do stuff for their families and for their children, because it's tough.
Yeah.
Because it's really tough. And sometimes it's not just about, you know, popping a pill or something. It's really about like having that and then deciding. Because for me, it was really like, okay, I needed something to take the edge off, which was, you know, antidepressants. And I say it completely, like, if you need something, get something. And I really truly felt like I was like, okay, I only stayed on them for 2 months, which all doctors will say, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. I took myself off of them because I was like, I just need space. And then once I have that space, I can start taking action.
I love that you mentioned that and said it that way and approached that way, because I tell people all the time, you know, big pharma isn't bad. Like everybody likes to make it to be. They just don't educate people to realize that big pharmaceuticals are great bridge gaps. I mean, they're great for bridging that gap when it's just way too much and you just need a little space. So that you can actually make a decision on your own. That so you can see through the fog. And once you see, it's kind of like someone's driving in the dark and there's like fogginess, right? And every once in a while the fog clears so you can see, you know, and in that moment you look as far as you can because you know that fog might come back, but at least you have that moment. But having that moment will bring that clarity. So eventually you say, okay, the fog doesn't have to be here forever.
Right.
But a lot of people, they don't take advantage of those clearings to see as far as they can. They overuse that clearing to see, where's my next pill? Because they bought into that whole thing that it's supposed to be a lifetime gig, but it doesn't have to be. I love that you brought that up because you've experienced it, you lived it, and you utilized
it
in a way that's not like saying pharma's bad or drugs are bad. You know, it's you basically, do you know where that's from?
No, I don't know.
It was South Park. There was a teacher that used to talk like that. He goes, okay, class, now just let you know drugs are bad. And you don't just say, you know, and so anyway. But
love it.
But anyway, so I think that's a really cool thing. And I think that's so powerful because, you know, I say it, but not because, you know, it's different when I say it because it's not like I got caught up in drugs or anything like that.
Right.
And depended on it or was told that I had to use it. But you lived that typical fast track lifestyle. You were literally on the fast track. Fast track to New York, Park Avenue, executive, just kind of like going for it. You know, people were probably looking to go, oh my God, that is the epitome of success. Yeah. I mean, you were like the poster girl of what success is. And not only that, you were Latina, you grew up on the Bronx, you had all these things going for, and people say like, hey, you know, how could she? And then the fact that you crashed and you kind of went through that is such a cool story that I hope you tell it often, because you probably do.
I try.
Right? Because then people start to see, oh, so what is it really about? I mean, it's akin to, I mean, so you growing, you said suddenly waking up saying, it's not just about the money.
It's not. And so, I mean, and that's just such a perfect segue, because here's the thing is yes, that was that life and I loved it and, you know, whatever. But at the same time, what I realized, the reason why that I think part of like the whole kind of, I mean, there were so many different little things, right? Mm-hmm. That just started happening was that I felt like I was living two different lives. Mm-hmm. I had my like complete corporate life that was running and going and being and affording me a lot of opportunities.
Right.
Then I had this whole other like spiritual, like starting meditation. And I started meditation like 20 years ago. And, I go in and out of it and, you know, kind of doing that kind of practice. And I was going on retreats, but I was keeping this world completely separate from this world and never integrating. So there are still, so in this day and age where there's so much more acceptance in terms of quieting the mind and sitting down for 5 minutes and meditating and doing a vision and doing, you know, all of that kind of like woo-woo esoteric stuff. It's actually not surprising to me that there are still so many women, and especially a lot of the women that I work with that are still executives in really high levels, that don't have those practices to kind of calm down the nervous system, you know, to really take care of themselves from the inside out in order to be able to flourish and perform at the best of their ability the way that they used to, because it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. So who I was at 19, 20, 21 to 30, whatever, was not sustainable at this point in time in my life with what's going on in my body. And I also don't want to run at that level either. Like, yeah. I want to work much smarter. I want to, you know, like this many hours as opposed to this many hours, right. You know? But I'm still completely 1,000,000% invested in my business and my company and what I do. Right. But there's also much smaller choices that you can make on a day-to-day basis that will also get you to your goal without having to kill yourself.
Right.
And it includes everything from like, you know, your what you're eating, how much water you're drinking, like how much time are you taking for yourself first thing in the morning? How much time are you spending on social media and off social media? I know so many of us run our businesses on social media, but we need to also be able to turn that off. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard, right? If I had to say anything, probably my hustle comes on my social,
That
doesn't feel like it because I'm not running around on subways and trains and planes and automobiles, but guess what? I'm probably spending that much or more time on my social media accounts
online, right?
And things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
So I know people say all the time, you know, if you look back, what would you change? And I wouldn't change anything because obviously, you know, with the risk of just losing all the learnings and the teachings that you got. But I'm starting to wonder, I'm starting to ask in a different way. So it's okay. Assuming that you preserve all the learnings that you got out of your experiences thus far, and if you were allowed to go back to your 19-year-old self and impart knowledge on how you would optimize your life to make it even better, what would you do?
So it's what I'm actually, it's so funny because it's actually what I'm teaching now. Nice. And what I teach my clients to teach their kids. And it's basically always have multiple revenue streams.
Mm.
Always have multiple revenue streams. Like if your kid's 8 years old and wants to start whatever business, like I see all these, you know, YouTubers that are nine. Yeah. I'm like, good for
making
you.
Making 6 figures plus.
Because like, making 6 figures and making millions, some of these, because they just announced like the highest paid, like under 12, you know, YouTuber is making like, I don't even know, $5 million or more.
Well, and I don't know but, about yeah, college at that point.
I think,
paying for college.
Right. Like that's what I would, right. And that's what I would say is like always have multiple revenue streams. So for me, what I do is while I'm working with high level executives, mm-hmm. like a lot of them is like going back to their passion, going back to their purpose, going back to the things that really matter in their lives. Like when I was working at Yahoo, I was also a health and wellness coach for a network marketing company.
Oh, cool.
And so now I'm a career coach, but I'm also a promoter for a supplement company that has helped me in so many ways. So for me, it's like, I'm never just one thing. So people are like, oh, well, what are you doing now? And I'm like, I'm doing a few things, but I'm optimizing and helping people make their lives better is what I do.
Right.
And that is not, it's not siloed into one thing. It's completely multidimensional because mm-hmm. we are multidimensional, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, I've had clients that come out of an advertising agency to start a party planning business, or you know, they want to start something on the side, but they don't want to go to another job. Then there's so many different community-based marketing companies out there that are completely legitimate, and I think are the best options for people that have quick, fast-paced schedules and that say they don't have time, but to build residual income so that then, God forbid, something happens. I lived for 3 years building this business on what I earned in my network marketing business.
Nice.
And some savings from my corporate job, but at the same time, it was like I was earning income.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Without having to really do a lot or go anywhere, you know, right. And out of your house, like there's no better way to do that than all the resources we have now in the digital media landscape.
Yeah. So, you know, somebody listening to this will probably, and after hearing your story, will say, well, you've had that hustle, you have that ability to multitask and probably can't do all that. But there are people out there who are a little bit more single-threaded. I mean, they get, you put two threads on their plate, they all of a sudden get overwhelmed and stuff like that. What do you say to people who agree with that idea and have trouble kind of seeing, like, well, how do I even do that? Because I can't chew gum and walk at the same time.
Right. I totally get it. I have people say that to me all the time. They're like, Angie, I can't do what you do. I'm like, I'm not asking you to do what I do. You can't, because I'm me and you're you. And so what I ask them is really, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want? Like, do you want to stay here? Oh, I don't want to stay here, but I can't do what you do. I was like, well, figure out what you can do and then go do that.
Yeah.
So here are steps, and you can either do it, you know, at a really high level, or you can do it, you know, at a really calm kind of low key level. Cause I know a few different women that are basically the same age, basically doing a similar type of business. Mm-hmm. And one is like crazy roller coaster out there. Oh my God. Like, it's like she makes my head spin. And the other one's very even keel, very like monotone pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they're probably making the exact amount of money. You know, mm-hmm. they're pretty much making the exact amount of money, but one you never really see or hear that much of, mm-hmm. but it's a very kind of consistent thread. And then the other one is, so it's really about finding, okay, number one, how do you want your life to change? What are you willing to do for it? And then finding your way of communicating it, and mm-hmm. your way of it really saying, okay, well, I'm going to find my way to do this mm-hmm. and figure it out. And then get the guidance that you need. And as long as you have the framework, you can do anything.
Right, right. I mean, we live in a time where, you know, I had this conversation. My mom's in her 70s. She says, it's too late. I know, I'm divorced now. And there's, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I was like, you know, people create multimillion dollar business in 5 years. Mm-hmm. Tell me you have at least five
or
years
less.
In you, mom. Or less.
Or less.
Or less, right? Or because less. We live in an amazing...
And that's the thing. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Finish what you're saying, because then I have something to say.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I mean, we live in an amazing time where technology affords us the ability that solopreneur could literally run a company where traditionally back 15, 20 years ago, you needed like a staff of 30, 40, 50 to get to. You have QuickBooks, it's online, everything's on the cloud, so you can do it from anywhere. You don't have to stop your life to run a business. You could run it from anywhere, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is this, that, I mean, even when you said, you can do it in 5 years, mom, it's like, you can just probably do it in half the time or like a quarter of that time, mm-hmm. right? It's really, because I've helped clients. I had a mastermind. I had an amazing group the beginning of this year, actually. And they each wanted to start something. I said, it's okay, let's do a challenge. In 45 days, let's see how many of you can earn $10,000 in 45 days. Mm-hmm. An extra $10,000. They all did it. They all did it. Why? Because we started off with, okay, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you have to do? What do you have to do? What do you have to do? How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? What are the actions? Okay, are you taking the actions? And then the accountability. And so I provide the capsule in which for them to do, like to have what they need, then the support system for us to all work together. Mm-hmm. And then they all went off and did it. And they were very clear and specific about what that goal was, right? So for one of them, it's like, I want to have a corporate sponsor to do this and this and this. Boom. Somebody called her, right, exactly. Like you know, she had to be open to the fact that she could actually have it, you know, have it come to her,
right?
And then be ready for it, right? Yeah. So like half of it is just being ready for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so we had like, you know, and I helped them create their contracts and negotiation and their pricing and then their sales tactics and how to answer the questions and objections and whatever. And we got to those numbers. So and it was fantastic. I love it.
That pretty much answers the questions about, I mean, because I'm pretty sure in your demographic, especially the woman that you're targeting and stuff like that, not targeting, I kind of don't like that word, the woman that you are supporting and helping, you know, and being available for, I'm sure the language is kind of like, oh, you know, I'm in my 40s or it's too late. You know, I've my best years are behind me and everything like that, which is a crock. But anyway, you know, what does that even mean? Yeah. My best years.
Right.
Because like, you know, if you and I were trying to kind of compare notes and stuff like that, and we look back and we thought they were the best years. Yeah. They're the best years of burning ourselves out.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. And then we look at how rewarding it is. Life is now when we're helping people 100%, like we live, breathe and sleep how do we elevate this world? How do we help someone to get to that next place? I mean, yeah. I think, you know, sometimes, I mean, you probably go through the same thing. I wake up and I say, okay, what does the world need today? What do my clients need today? What does my audience need today that I can provide that'll help make that shift, right?
Yeah. What's that contribution?
Exactly. So specifically someone, what have you found yourself saying to someone who says, Angie, it's too late. I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm in my 40s, you know, I've done nothing in my life and this is where I am and it's too late. What do I?
Yeah. Well, I always go to have them just vision, like, where do you see yourself in a year? Do you see yourself in this same place or do you see yourself someplace else? And it goes to like, oh, well, I don't know, but no, where do you see yourself? And meaning that they have to create that vision right now. Mm-hmm. Right. So if all the obstacles were out of the way, everything was just a clear blank slate and there was nothing stopping them. Like, where do you see yourself? Where do you want to see yourself? Mm-hmm. What do you envision for your life?
Right.
Because that's the only way that you can actually create anything from.
Yeah.
Right. And then of course that conversation comes into your head. But at the same time, that's when the opportunity arises for you to then take that action. Right. Uh-huh. And it does. And people think, I think the biggest thing that's stops people and scares people is that they think they need to take these huge leaps, right? They need to take these huge leaps into doing crazy things. And I'm like, no, you can make one phone call.
Yeah.
You know, you could write one email.
Right.
You could, you know, take one step into what you think that would be. And it's amazing what actually happens from that one phone call, from that one step, from that one email, from that one post.
Yeah.
I mean, I had someone the other day, finally, she was like, okay, I'm going to do it. Did one post and had like 52 people respond to her. And she was like, now what do I do? Great. Let's go from here.
Exactly. You know, it's a fascinating thing. Did you find going through that process that people are more clear about their obstacles than they are what they want?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. People are so attached to the obstacle and people are so attached to the story and people are so attached to the fear and the judgments and the failure.
Uh-huh.
And myself included. I mean, I've gone through that. I've gone through that too. It's like sometimes I would walk into a room and be like, ah, and now I don't know. There's, you know, I don't know, but I go back. I had a conversation with my mom the other day and you know, I found a picture of myself from when I was like 6 or 7 years old. I was like throwing something into the air and I was super sassy. And she's like, that's been you your whole life. You just walk into the room and you want to talk to everybody and you wanted to hear their story and you wanted to tell their story and you wanted to hug and love on people. And nice. That's still me to my core to this day. So for me, it's like creating this business wasn't about me making millions. For me, creating this business was about me giving people back that kind of joy.
Yeah. Yeah. And getting them to step into owning themselves, right? Having that, I guess you define that as life 2.0, right? Not the life that we bought into, but the life that we actually get to create, right?
Yeah.
So tell me how you, tell us how you, you know, define, how you came across life 2.0 and how that becomes part of your thing.
Yeah. I think for me, I mean, kind of going back to like when you asked me about, am I that same hustler that I was back then and who am I now? And how did that kind of come to fruition? The whole life 2.0 for me was, I was kind of forced into it, quite frankly. I was like, you know, in my corporate life, I always had my side hustle, was doing well, was doing great, moved from New York to California and was like, okay, what do I do now? You know, and I got a couple of jobs out here and it was good. It was going great. And then I got laid off almost 4 years ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. And
what was the job you were doing out here before you got laid off?
I was the director of multicultural for a digital media company.
Okay, got it.
And they ended up like dismantling that division and kind of being like, we're not really invested in it. And I was like, all right, cool, no worries. And so I took some time off. I literally like got laid off and the next day I was in Cabo. Yeah. So I was like, bye, peace out. Like, summer off.
That's the best way. I mean, people should take notes of that. It's like a lot of people say, oh, I'm on laid off and they'll sit and they're like sequester themselves into the room and lie in bed. It's like, go play. You know, that's like the universe saying, you know, you should go play right now because it's not like you have to report to a job or anything like that.
I know. It was great. I mean, I literally got laid off, and it was because my friend texted me. She goes, "I'm on my way to Cabo. Why don't you come meet me?" And I was like, "Totes, I'm on a plane." And like 2 hours later, I was on the plane. I mean, I like didn't even pack. And I think, you know, for me, it was like, okay, now I forgot the question.
The life 2.0.
Oh, that's right. It's life 2.0. I was like, there you go. I mean, my God.
It was like, you're back in Cabo again. I'm back in Cabo again. I think I'm going to go there after this interview.
I have to go. Okay. So it really gave me the opportunity to look at my life. What did I want? Who was I becoming? Was it over? Like, I did start, like, when I got back from Cabo, I was interviewing and whatever. And I also realized that I had, and maybe I'm going to just say it, I felt like I had aged out of the market. And I was like, okay, well, what else is there for me? Mm-hmm. I had my business on the side, but I thought I had to go back into corporate. And then I was like, well, wait a second, why do I have to do that? I can reinvent myself. So the reinvention part, and when you're like creating the opportunity to create the life that you want truly as a creator of your life, as opposed taking what's handed to you and being like, oh, this is just what it is. Right. I mean, people stay in so many bad situations, whether it's a career, whether it's a relationship, whether it's, you know, a company or whatever it is, or house, a state even, right? Like some people that's in New York and they don't want to be there. They want to be over here. It's like, come on over to the shiny side, you know?
Right. It shines a lot here.
It's a lot here. 360. It didn't rain the other day. So, and they don't give themselves the opportunity to really look at it as like an upgrade.
Yeah.
Like we upgrade our phones, we upgrade our computers, we upgrade our cars, we upgrade all this stuff. It's like,
when you
get
upgrade your life.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Ugh. And is that what it means to create a life of your dreams, to not necessarily, because your dreams change as you grow and evolve, your dreams evolve and change as well. So people, they say, well, this is not what I dreamed of. So what do you dream of now?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think people need to understand also that their dreams, you know, I feel like there's this whole weird, not in the millennial generation, but I think in like mine and my parents, obviously, but like sometimes like your dream is something that's actually not attainable because it's just a dream,
right?
You were taught, oh, go to sleep and you'll dream something beautiful and whatever. But then that stays in this like osmos, right? It's like stays in that like dream state. No. We're talking about dreams that you're creating, that you're making completely tangible and that you're living. You're living in that space.
Right.
So yeah, do I want? <I'm>... Sorry.
Okay, what were you thinking about just the... What'd you say?
I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna dream about that man that's gonna come riding up, take me on a beach, you know, gallop and like propose to me and whatever. Like I still dream about stuff like that. I'm a super crazy romantic, and so I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
because I can't think about it in the sense of like, oh, well, that doesn't exist. Because you know what? The man that finds me and that's coming for me is going to know that I'm going to want to go on like a sunset, like horse, whatever, a trail, you know?
And if you never expressed it and if you never put it out there,
exactly,
how will he even know? He could be the guy who potentially would do that for you, but how would he even know that's something that you wanted? And I think that leads into a whole different discussion about, you know, people complaining that I'm not attracting what I want. Well, are you saying what you want?
Right.
Are you letting the potential men or suitors out there know that's what you want? Because they may have the potential to do it, but until you communicate that, you know, I'm so done with like the whole guessing game that people go through in relationships. It's like, I wonder if this.
Oh,
one,
this
I
is a whole other show.
I know exactly. It's like, well, you should know. It's like, what do you mean I should know? You know, I'm not psychic. You know, unless you kind of decide one of your decision is you want to go be with a psychic, a real psychic. In which case, great. Then that's just kind of a lazy way out. Well, he's a psychic. He knows. It's like, why is he so good to you? I don't have to say anything because he's a psychic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think to that point, I mean, I know we're making light of it and that's a whole other show, you know, with that conversation, but like, it really is. It's like, if we're not saying what we want into the universe, to our group of friends, to our family who listens, or maybe we don't tell people that don't believe in us, right? But it's, I'm putting it in the journal and praying to God, or whatever you, whatever your practice is, it's like, it's anything that you want in your life. If you're not saying it, you're not speaking, you're not writing it, then it's, it literally then just becomes a wish.
And like you said, it's just still in the cosmos. I mean,
right.
And if you know, if anybody kind of looks into the science behind how the human mind works, our human mind isn't a linear machine. It's quantum. So you let it percolate in there, it'll disappear. It will literally just, and it'll morph, and it'll distort and everything like that.
Yeah.
So if you capture something that your mind said, ooh, I want that. Heck, get it out of your head. Put it on paper, put it on Evernote, put it on something, tell somebody, you know, whatever the case may be.
And well, speaking of like quantum, have you, and I'm sure you have heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Uh-huh.
And Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot. I've been studying a lot of his work too. And that's exactly it. It's like getting it out there, but also getting it out there in the sense of like, you're feeling it. You're almost like living it in that current reality.
Right.
As opposed to it just being in this like other space.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So very cool. I knew it, you know, I mean, from the last time and this time, I mean, it was an hour has gone by already. And I just like, oh my God. I know, exactly. I was like, oh my God, I got
to
make sure.
Everything?
Let's extend it. Let's make it another 2 hours now. Anyway, so let's be like Joe Rogan, right? He sits there and does 3 hour, 4 hour podcast. I was like, really? And people actually listen to that. But anyway, so not that we're comparing to Joe Rogan or anything like that. But anyway, what I want to do is, you know, inevitably someone's going to listen and they're going to hear and they're going to say, oh my God, this is amazing. This woman's amazing. How do I connect with her? You know? And so I want to take this time right now to let you kind of let us know, what is the best way to connect with you? And what does that look like when they connect with you? And, you know, in terms of, you know, whether it be something that they call you, email you, just tell me.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I have my website, which is just my name, Angie Correa. So AngieCorrea. You can go there. I have some great, go check out my client love page. I mean, my clients are the best. And so they've sent in a lot of beautiful things about our work together. So that's a great place to start. Social media, my name on Facebook. So you'll find me on, I have a personal page that's maxed out, but it is Angie Correa. And my business page is also Angie Correa. And I think, I can send you like the, you know, how they have the little extension.
Yeah.
But it'll come up and it'll be me. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, it's Angie Correa _life2.0. And Correa, that's a great.
_life2.0. So it's at Angie Correa _life2.0. I'm putting this into, for those of you who are wondering where I'm putting this into,
the show notes.
It's under our Spreaker platform, where you can see all the comments where I'm putting this all in there.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that's a great place. I think I've been utilizing Instagram a lot more these days. Obviously just because of the broadness and the vastness of the audience.
Right.
I also have a Linktree link in there that has a bunch of different links that you can kind of, you know, find me on. Cool. And hear about the things that I'm doing, and
awesome. And then you have a jumpstart, 40 jumpstart coaching. What is that all about?
So basically, a lot of the work that I've been doing has been over a 3 month or 6 month period with my clients.
Uh-huh.
And what I've been finding with some of the people that I've been talking to is that either A, they want something that's a little bit more condensed, or B, they don't want to, they're not really quite sure how a whole long coaching program really works for them, and they've never experienced it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I've always hired coaches for my career, my life and all that stuff. So I've spent a lot of money on that aspect. And I know that for some people it can be a barrier to entry. And so what I did is that I condensed a lot of the work that I'm doing into a 4 week period for right now. So for the month of October, I'm just taking on about 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an application process for that. And they can go to www.empoweringnewlife.com, which basically takes you to the application.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, to help me have a sense of what you're looking for, what you want to do, how you can experience it. And it's at a very discounted rate as opposed to the rest of my coaching programs, just so that we can kind of help you get like jump started into 2019 and not stay stagnant, burnt out, frustrated, insecure now, and like get the ball rolling, because now is the best time as any to then start really looking at how do you want to start creating that life in 2019. If you don't start now and you kind of coast your way through, you're just going to be 2, 3, 4 steps behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to kind of really, my biggest thing is really going into 2019 with a bang, like not stop saying, okay, this is my year. You want 2019 to be your year? Start now.
Yeah, start now. End 2018 with a bang so that you take that momentum and blast it into 2019.
Yeah.
Don't wait till the beginning of the year.
There's nothing better than to go into something new with clarity and confidence and knowing what your plan is and taking action on that and like going into it really feeling at ease as opposed to being like, oh, I'm just going to wait and then be frustrated when you start, January 1.
Exactly. Because you're dealing with New Year hangover and everything like that. And then it's going to be like a 1 month fog. And then February rolls around. Next thing you know, it's summer again. You're like, oh, I'm clear. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's happened to a lot of people that I talk to. And it's kind of like, well, why not get started now? And so I'm excited about this because it's really opened up the scope of people that I'm talking to and working with. And, you know, and I made it also so that it's like, you know, it's deep work, but we can get a lot done.
Yeah, in a short amount of time. I mean, based on everything that you said so far, your experience, what you bring to the table and everything, it's not theory. It's actually practical because you yourself have lived it and you've taken other people through it as well. So thank you so much for making those offers and stuff like that, because I mean, I think especially the women that you help and support out there, it's sorely needed out there. There's lots of big shifts going on. And yeah, I could be a dude that says it and stuff like that, but there's just something different. There's just something different, you know, about, you know. But anyway, so I put all that on AndreaCorea.com. Facebook, look up, just do a search. She's all over the place. Instagram, AndreaCorea_life2.0. EmpoweringNewLife.com is where you go to apply for that program to kind of get yourself ready to rock and roll for 2019. If that is your commitment to do that, there's a lot of resources out there. There's our event. There's this empowering new life, working with Angie and stuff like that. So all these different things, no excuses, right?
No excuses.
Okay, cool. So, stick around for a little bit after. We're going to debrief. But thank you so much for being on again. And I love all that you do and everything that you bring to the table. Your story and everything's fantastic. And I have a sneaking suspicion this is not the last time we'll be interacting, because there's a couple other things that we need to talk about. So anyway.
Awesome.
So that's our show for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you found this episode to be valuable and you know of someone else that could benefit from what we talked about today, ladies, listen in. It's not about me, it's about you, it's about you and Angie. Share it. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a thumbs up on YouTube Live. We even have a Facebook group called The Money Lab. So join us there to dive even deeper into bad money story elimination strategies, and potentially down the road, we can have guest speakers come in, such as Angie, to kind of take us through a webinar or other things that can kind of like take you deeper and stuff like that. So very, very cool. Okay, so I don't know what's going on here. This is interesting because I think my computer decided to do weird things.
End it?
Huh? No, it's not ended. It is so not ended. It is so not ended. It's just playing. Do you hear the music?
No.
Oh, that's so funny. But anyway, that's a wrap. Ladies and gentlemen, have an amazing week. Applying the knowledge one we have today. And we'll be back in next week. Okay, last week I wasn't here, so it was like 2 weeks. So this last week was the first week, and like I was telling you, in like 2 years that we didn't. But we'll be back next week for the Money Life Pack podcast, where we have young and successful CEO of Never Alone Financial, Alan Barak. He's going to be joining us on the episode, and he's got a fantastic story about what he went through, and he's as an immigrant and everything, and coming to the U.S. and everything like so. But this is Wei from the Money Lab and Angie Correa.
There you go.
Correa, signing off. See ya.
Bye.